Thanks, Zachary, and good morning, everyone. It is great to see you. Thanks for being here at our 10 o'clock service. And Zachary just prayed, my name is Daniel, one of the pastors here at Christ Central. And during this 50-day season after Easter that the church calls Eastertide, we as a church have been in a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. We have been focusing on the different roles of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the Holy Spirit as the helper, the companion, the sanctifier, and last week as the guide. And in each of these roles, the primary focus has been on the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual. But if you're here last week, Emilio took some time to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is not just for the individual. The Holy Spirit guides us as a community. So this week, I want to drill down more on the Holy Spirit's role in the church as we look at the Holy Spirit as the power. And the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, which means wind. And wind is a great analogy for the Spirit, for wind can be gentle. You can hardly know that it exists. At other times, wind can be so strong that it knocks down trees, picks up vehicles, and demolishes houses. Wind is powerful to support an airplane in flight and to move a sailboat toward its destination. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is the invisible presence and power of God that supports and moves the church towards its destination. And the destination to which we, the church, are headed is a completely renewed and restored world. That every Sunday as we gather, we remember that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have an agreed-upon cosmic mission to bring renewal and restoration to all nations, to the whole world. And do you know what the chief strategy of the Trinity is to arrive to this destination of a renewed world? The church. There is no secondary strategy. The way that God has determined to bring renewal to a broken world is through you, and you, and you, and me, through us, the church. Now, if we think about this for a moment, we might ask, really? Me? Does God really want to use me? Can God use me? I'm more of a mess than anyone really knows. Surely there's a smarter and more effective way for God to bring about his project of renewal to the whole world. Unless the Holy Spirit makes the strategy effective. For the Holy Spirit is the power for the church to be used as the primary instrument in God's renewal project for the whole world. Which means, if Christ Central Church exists solely for Christ Central Church, then we've ceased being the church. Can I share with you some growing concerns that I have for our church as we've become bigger? That you might be tempted to think two things. The first, that Sunday is a really good show with a talented band and a good talk every now and then and a beautiful sanctuary. And if you have kids, a place for you to drop your kids off to be taken care of for a few hours and get a break. That you're tempted to think Christ Central is a good place to come on Sundays and be entertained and then leave. But Sunday's not a show. It's not entertainment. What we do on Sundays is gather as God's people in God's presence to worship and glorify God together, which then fuels us in our mission throughout the week. The second temptation that I have wondered if we could think is that, or that you might think is Christ Central is so big, they don't need me. They have plenty of people, so I will look to contribute to other places or other things where it seems there's more need of me. We need you. We need every single one of you to be who God has created you to be with the gifts that God has given you. For what we're going to see this morning is that the Holy Spirit empowers every individual with diverse gifts for the purpose of the common good and for God's renewal project in the world. And so if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to give attention to God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. It's in your bulletin, and it's on the screen as well. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Isaiah tells us the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you that you speak to us, and I pray that by your Spirit now you would come down, that we might have ears to hear, that we might have hearts that are transformed, that we leave having encountered you because you have spoken to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Well, about 10 years ago, Timothy and I went on a 9-day intensive retreat in Nashville, Tennessee. Some of you have heard us reference this retreat. On this retreat, there were 6 people in our cohort, 4 main leaders or counselors leading this intensive. And on day one, they took our cohort through some team exercises. And one of the exercises that they gave us was to blindfold every single one of us. And then they spread out a large puzzle with its pieces scattered all over the ground of a screened-in back porch. And then they gave the 6 of us a time limit and told us to work as a team to see if we could put the puzzle together. And there were some fascinating revelations that came out of this exercise, at least for me. When they said go, we all started scrambling, trying to find the pieces, and we were all attempting to put the pieces together. But pretty quickly, very quickly, I grew tired of doing this. And I found myself on the perimeter of the group. And I just started listening to everyone as they were scrambling and the things that they were saying. And I started asking questions out loud to the team to try to gain, blindfolded, a better vision of what was taking place and kind of trying to envision what our team was doing. Timothy, on the other hand, was smack dab in the middle of the activity. And he started running point on the team, taking pieces and putting them with other pieces. And he was making things happen. And then there was another guy on our team that began to assist Timothy in finding certain pieces as Timothy described them. We eventually all worked together to complete this puzzle. And it was a very clear exercise on how different people have different gifts. And if you can work together using those gifts, you can accomplish your goals. And I laugh now when I think about that because it's become clear over the past 10 years of being a pastor at Christ Central that I most naturally think about the big picture. I love thinking about the vision of our church, the culture of our church, the philosophy of ministry that drives our church. And Timothy most naturally executes things and makes things happen. And we're all glad he's the executive pastor. And I'm not saying Timothy never thinks about vision or I never execute things. I'm just saying we have different gifts. And when we live into our gifts, it allows us to work more effectively and productively as a team. And then you add all of our other amazing staff and all of their incredible gifts. And what you get is a pretty phenomenal staff team here at Christ Central. In our passage this morning, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he's telling them that the Holy Spirit empowers every individual with diverse gifts for the purpose of the common good and for God's renewal project. And the problem with the church in Corinth, it's not that they're not celebrating the Holy Spirit's gifts, but they have created a spiritual hierarchy where certain gifts are celebrated as greater than others. And this has caused great division within the church. If you've ever heard of a tennis league or a golf league creating a ladder of competition, right? In a tennis league or a golf league, players are ranked from highest to lowest on the ladder, and an individual who's below can challenge the individual above them, and if they beat them, then the person that was above moves down, and the person that was below moves up. Well, that's what's happening in Corinth. They've turned their spirituality into a competition. And they've created a ladder system for who has the greatest gifts. And for the Corinthians, they're boasting in the gift of tongues. And I don't think that's most of us. It could be some of us here this morning. But I do think there are other gifts that we as a church and our
city and community are more tempted to boast in. Perhaps it's our intellect, or our engagement in mercy and justice, or our evangelism, or our hospitality. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us are not the problem. The problem is when we turn our spirituality into a competition and we boast in our gifts and it leads to division. The Apostle Paul is reminding them that spiritual gifts are not earned. They are given by the power of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of the common good and for God's renewal project in the world. So those are the three things I want us to look at this morning, that the Holy Spirit empowers individuals with diverse gifts. Secondly, that the Holy Spirit empowers for the common good. And lastly, that the Holy Spirit empowers for God's renewal project. Let's look first at the Holy Spirit empowers individuals with diverse gifts. Verse 4 of our passage says that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 11, all are empowered by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts and empowers every single person. The church is not a sport where some people play and others sit on the bench. Every single person is uniquely called and uniquely gifted. It's not just the pastors or the staff, the elders, the women's council, the diaconate. All of you are called and gifted. And the temptation that I mentioned earlier that any of us could fall into is, well, Christ Central doesn't need me. It's just a flat-out lie. Yes, we do. You are uniquely gifted by God, and you are infinitely valuable to God's church and to Christ Central Church specifically. There is no ladder of spirituality here. There are not those who are strongly gifted and those who are barely gifted. Your gifts are perfect gifts for you, and the Holy Spirit has empowered you to have them. In the New Testament, there are four passages that have lists of spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and here in 1 Corinthians 12. And the interesting thing is that each of these lists are different. Some lists include extraordinary gifts like miracles and tongues, some ordinary gifts like administration, some visible gifts like teaching, some hidden gifts like wisdom. There's not one static gift set recorded in the New Testament. And the point that I think the Bible is making is that there are many gifts that the Holy Spirit empowers individuals with. Paul uses the analogy of the body to describe the church later on in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. And to be a healthy body, we need healthy hands and healthy feet and healthy eyes and healthy ears. If we were all the same, we would be one big ear or one big hand, which is not a body, but a monster. We are all uniquely gifted with diverse gifts. So let me get practical with you, because maybe you're going, you know what? I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. How do I discover and identify what God has gifted me with? Well, I don't think you need to immediately leave the service and go searching for some online spiritual gift test inventory. Don't go do that. I think the best way to discover your gifts are by trying things out, asking others, and discerning for yourself. Right, one of the best pieces of advice I got right out of college was from an older pastor who knew that I felt called to ministry, but I wasn't sure how I felt called into ministry. And he told me to take my 20s and try a lot of things out. And that through experience, I would begin to see the things that I enjoyed and didn't enjoy, the things I was good at and not so good at. And for you, I would say, do the same. Try things out. Maybe it's leading a city group for the first time, and you discover you love leading a city group. Maybe it's ushering on a Sunday morning or serving in kids ministry for the first time, and you discover you love it. Maybe it's going overseas on a missions trip and you discover you love being among different cultures and people groups. Or maybe it's serving on a service project and you discover you come alive when you serve. Or maybe you do these things and you discover you don't like these things at all. Trying different things. Right? Get in the game. Don't sit on the bench and you will discover what your gifts are. Another way is to ask other people, especially those who know you and are closer to you. Ask them, what do you think I'm gifted in? What do you see me doing that bears fruit? What do you see me doing that you think gives me a lot of joy? And then lastly, I would say observe yourself. As you try things and you talk to other people, take the time to discern and reflect about what excites you. What do you seem to be effective and good at? What gets you agitated and frustrated? And you might find that your heart comes alive when you're doing Excel spreadsheets and budgets, or when you're connecting with others in relationship, or when you're being generous and cultivating generosity in others, or when you're counseling someone one-to-one, or when you're leading an organization, or when you're serving the poor. God has designed each and every one of you to come alive over certain things, for the Holy Spirit has empowered you with unique gifts. The second thing that I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts for the common good. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The point is that your gifts are not your gifts. They're not originated in you for you. They are from God for one another. Spiritual gifts are not to make you feel good or to advance your personal agenda, but they are given by the Holy Spirit for the benefit of others. And too often we can be so turned in on ourselves that we miss the opportunity that God has given to use our gifts, not as an end for ourselves, but as a blessing to others. I heard a pastor recently share about a former gang member who was coming to his church, and the gang member had become a Christian, had a relationship with Jesus, and seemed to be getting fairly involved with the church. But after a few months, the pastor found out that the guy was no longer coming to the church. And when asked why he didn't come anymore, he gave this following explanation to the pastor. He said, I had the wrong idea of what church was going to be like. When I joined the church, I thought it was going to be like joining a gang. You see, in the gangs, we aren't just nice to each other once a week. We're a family. And the pastor said that it saddened him to think that a gang could paint a better picture of commitment to each other than the local church. One of the major ways we display our commitment to one another is by using our gifts for the sake of each other. And so I have to ask you, who is benefiting from the gifts that God has given you? God has not gifted us so that we can be like a selfish child who gets a present on Christmas morning and is unwilling to share it with their brother or sister. He has gifted us to serve and love one another, and by doing so, we put on display our unity and our love for one another, which then serves as an external manifestation to the world of the triumph of Jesus as he brings renewal to the world through us, his church. And that's my third point, is that the Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts for God's renewal project. Jesus Christ is on a mission to renew all things, and his chief strategy is the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, using their unique gifts, not just for one another, but for the whole world. Right? The church is not a Sunday show. It's not an organization run by paid staff. It's a community where every person is valuable and needed, where we listen and we share and we advocate and we host and we give for the world out there. Every year at this time, our church staff is planning toward next ministry year. We kind of operate from August through the summer as a ministry year. And right now, differing staff members are asking people in our church, asking you to be willing to be a Bible study leader or a city group leader or to help in children's ministry or youth ministry or to serve and volunteer on a Sunday morning. And one of the things I'm really excited about is the hiring of Matthew Madonia, who recently became our engagement director. And so over the coming months, Matthew, along with others, are going to increasingly help provide on-ramps for us as a church to engage in local mission in our city and global mission around the world. And so in all of this, we need you, not just to identify your spiritual gifts, but we need you to use your gifts, of shepherding, of strategizing, of planning, of hosting, of serving, of praying, of teaching. How might God be calling you to contribute by using your gifts? For the church is to be a community mobilized outward for the sake of renewal in the lives of our neighbors, coworkers, classmates, in the city, for the world. Our hope is that the Holy Spirit will empower us, because God is the one who must build his church. God is the one who builds his kingdom. And it's a privilege that he chooses to use some ragamuffins like you and me to see renewal take place in this world. Pastor and author Francis Chan has mentioned that he's wondered at times if Christians and Christian gatherings resemble the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18 more than Elijah, who's the prophet of God. Do you know that story in 1 Kings 18 where the prophets of Baal and the prophet Elijah are battling over whose God is the true God by seeing whose God would respond as they worshiped? The prophets of Baal have a very loud and passionate worship gathering that lasted from morning till evening. And when they were done, they had a really great time of fellowship with some good food and some good drink. But 1 Kings 18, 29 says that no one answered. No one paid attention to them. And then after all of this, Elijah simply prayed. And God heard his prayer and fire came down from heaven. And the prophets of Baal respond by saying, "The Lord, He is God." They didn't say Elijah has great prayers or Elijah is a wonderful speaker. They were floored by God. They were in awe of the power of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, who is Christ Central more like? Do we look more like the prophets of Baal running around in a frenzy trying to fix our problems while we have some great music and a good speaker and with some good fellowship, but at the end, fire doesn't come down from heaven? Do people leave Sunday mornings or any other church gathering talking about the people who led rather than the power of God? Or could we look more like Elijah, worshiping and glorifying God and trusting that God will build his kingdom and the gates of hell will never prevail against it? Would fire come down and empower us to be his church in this city for the world? The body of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of the common good and for God's renewal project in the world. Let's pray. Lord, would you come down and empower us by your Spirit for the sake of one another, for the sake of your world, to the glory of God alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.